Tracy wasn't sure why she'd agreed to visit Edward Case. Edward had instigated the meeting by relaying an invitation for a chat via Paul. Case had expressed an interest in the Green Movement and was apparently eager to give it publicity. He'd certainly worked wonders with Paul's Haircuts for Peace event. He'd written a pre-event feature on the protest for the Globe. Chickenfeed had told her that since the piece had been printed, their phone hadn't stopped ringing. It seemed like a week for publicity. There'd been news stories and features on alienation in all the music papers. Edward was working on news coverage of the Haircuts for Peace event when the doorbell rang. He liked to work on stories in advance. He was prepared to do a minimal amount of revision after the fact, but only if absolutely necessary. He'd talked the whole thing through with Paul, and if everything went according to plan, his piece would be as accurate as the reportage of any other journalist. Case opened the door and ushered the girl into his living room, introducing himself at the same time. He poured 200 pipers. Mixed, Case inquired. No straight, Tracy replied. Soda isn't good for you. It contains too many impurities. Tell me about your boyfriend, Paul. He's a nice lad, very much in love with you. I feel he's got a lot of talent, but is lacking in ambition. I'd like to help him. Paul had told Case enough for the journalist to realise things weren't going very well between him and his girlfriend. Case was manoeuvring Tracy onto the subject as a seduction ploy. Both partners in a relationship which is going badly are inclined to wander. Case had already proved this point when he'd exposed Paul's latent homosexuality. Paul doesn't understand how trapped he makes me feel. As she said it, Tracy was thinking about what a sympathetic character Edward seemed to be. Case put his hand on the girl's knee, faking a slight tremble. There was nothing false about Tracy's tremor. Edward knelt in front of the girl. He pushed a pinafore dress up her thighs and kissed her bare legs. He pushed the covering a little more and Tracy shifted in her seat. The dress went up around her waist, revealing that she wasn't wearing any knickers. Case continued kissing Tracy's legs, first the left and then the right. He was shifting his body and his mouth inched upwards as he did so. Tracy's legs slipped apart and Case found himself licking at a moist love hole. Tracy moaned, leaned forward and pulled off her dress. Then she pulled off the white T-shirt she'd been wearing underneath. She wasn't wearing a bra. She was naked except for a pair of 18-hole Dr. Martin boots. For Christ's sake, Tracy screamed as she pulled Case down onto the shag carpet. Fuck me. Edward thrust forward and began to pound out the primitive rhythm of the swamps. The beat quickened and Tracy croaked the word bastard on an out-breath as she clawed her nails down Case's back. Tracy was thrashing beneath him, rocking so hard that he was flipped over. His cock slid out of her. Case was on his back with Tracy on top of him. She arched up, her back straightened as he re-entered her. Edward reached up with his hands and curled them around her shoulders. He was thrusting up with his pelvis and trying to pull Tracy down against his chest. She kept pulling back, breaking free of his grip, and rocking more and more wildly. The forcefulness of her grunts increased. The final three as she reached orgasm were powerful enough to make the walls vibrate. It was 5 minutes before the two perverts had recovered sufficiently for pillow talk. We should run through the stuff you came here to discuss, Case announced breezily. Publicity for the Deep Ecology and anti-cash crop movements, Tracy shot back. I've thought of a good way of getting front-page coverage, but it's illegal. What is it? Tracy demanded. Well, if you were prepared to attack cafes and leave anti-cash crop leaflets behind you. Sounds great, Tracy grinned.